I do appreciate that. Miss Ann, we love you, dear. Appreciate you. And she does a lot of labor around here, and she gets unnoticed for a lot of it, but we thank God for her, and she's pickable. Not everybody's pickable. I learned that the hard way. But I appreciate Miss Ann. I don't tell her enough how much I appreciate her and love her. Thank God for her. I go on with her, but she knows how much I love her. Amen. I appreciate her. And I got two mamas here, Miss Ann and Miss Arnett. And they got my back, y'all, and they're pretty rough. Ann's a man, and Calder's is rough. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let's go back there tonight. We're going to do our very best. We got three of these principles Sunday night, and we're going to try our best to deal with the last three. And again, I know it's nothing new, and I know you know the Bible, and so I'm not giving you nothing new. If I did have something new, you wouldn't want to hear it anyway. It wouldn't be worth hearing. There's nothing new under the sun. But look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, Paul said, I'm not going to be overtaken and things that are lawful become unlawful. Amen. Now, again, the only way something lawful can become unlawful is we put it in the wrong place of our life. Right. Get a hold of that. I'm going to try to say that again. The only way something lawful can become unlawful is if we put it in the wrong place in our life. Right. The Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And all these other things will be added to you. See, priorities. God's big on priorities. A lot of people say, Lord ain't big on time. Sure he is. He the one invented it. Right. When the fullness of what comes, Jesus come? Time. He is big on time. And he prioritizes our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if we're not doing that, Christ is either first or he's not really involved. See, we really can't put say, well, I put Jesus second. No, man, I wouldn't even say that out loud. We may know it in our heart. I think I'd deal with that with me and the Lord in private. Right. Lord, I'm not putting you first. I got this first. But anyway, Paul is trying to teach them some principles. And, of course, Corinth was carnal. I'm just repeating myself. Please hang with me. They were carnal Christians. And you know, one of the signs, according to this epistle, one of the signs of carnality is division. Strife, envying, all these things that Paul told them, and I'm not going to take time to turn back and read that, but those are marks of a carnal church when there's a bunch of fussing going on, a bunch of division, backbiting, lying tongues, things that God said in Proverbs 6, I just hate it. Those things do a lot of damage. Do you understand, church, that you don't have to pull a trigger with a gun to kill somebody? You can destroy their character and how others perceive them by just lying on them. And do your very best. If you're going to tell it, make sure it's the truth. If you make up stuff to tear a brother down, I promise you, it's going to bite you. It's going to bite you. But Paul's new, and he gives them the principle in verse number 12. He gives them the principle of expediency. In other words, he said, is it lawful? In other words, does it line up with God's word? What does God say on the matter? Then, and I'm not going to preach this again. Then is it expedient? Is it going to serve or promote the right person? Then the principle of enslavement, verse 12, he said, I won't be brought under the power of any of it. He said, it's not going to run my life. And we've got to be very careful. I've seen people begin a hobby. Listen to me now. I've seen people begin a hobby. I guess the Lord knows me. because I don't know what the right word is, so I'm not going to try to tell you, but the Lord knows if I get involved in something like it, I'll have a problem with it. I'm talking about like a hobby. And I've seen people entertain, ain't nothing wrong with hobbies, but if you're not careful, that hobby will slip in front. And your extra time, your extra money, everything extra that you have will go to that. And the next thing you know, that day off on Sunday will go to it. Even when you began it and you meant it. And I'm not belittling. You meant it. I won't be doing that on Sunday. And then little by little, you begin to let it compromise you to that. Well, this one time, I can't help this. This is going, and you done told the Lord, Lord, I promise it won't come before you. So Paul said, I won't be enslaved to any of that. I believe I'd junk a hobby. I worked with a man years ago. I worked for him. Him and his wife retired from New Jersey. I was still in high school. And my mother-in-law kept their house and I kept the yard. And Mr. and Miss Hauser was their name. And I got tickled at him even then, 17-year-old kid. He was asking me, so what kind of hobbies do you have? And even then, I couldn't tell him anything. I don't know. I play ball, play football. He said, well, you know, my daddy, he said, I believe with all my heart, if my daddy would have had a hobby, he'd have lived longer. I said, okay. And then me, curiosity killed the cat. And I said, how old was your daddy when he died? He said, 90. We need to find a hobby. But in chapter 8, we saw the principle of example. We know the eating meat offered to idols. That was the whole thing with that. The idols, nothing. See, what they wanted was a rule, and Paul gave them a principle. He said, it ain't about eating the meat. It's about causing a weaker brother to fall, becoming a stumbling block, eating it. See, this was a selfish bunch. Folks, we'll never be spiritual if we're selfish people. I'm going to repeat that. We'll never be spiritual if we're selfish people. Now, we all fight it. Because some days you ask me, I'll tell you just how much I think I deserve. And the whole time the Holy Ghost of God's grieved in me. You know, I deserve better than that. So it is a battle of the flesh to want to be selfish and to get our way. But Paul said it ain't about winning this argument. We got to get by winning an argument. Because at the end of the day, who cares? We got to get past winning arguments. I am at the age now, you can come to me and say, preacher, I don't like you doing this, I don't like you doing that. You know what I'm going to look at you and say? Thank you for sharing that with me. I'll consider that. But I'm not, by the grace of God, going to point and then turn around and try to turn the table and show you 15 things in your life that I don't think's right. What's that guy that's going to cause argument? And one of us is going to be carnal. If not both of us. Amen. Again, I'm not talking about open gross sin, stuff the Bible, we know that's wrong, immoral, we know that. You know I'm not talking about that anyway. But Paul said, he said the principle of example. You know, they would offer this meat to idols and then they would sell it discounted at a butcher's market and resell it and they would buy it. And it was hurting young Christians that God was saving out of this pagan worship. Then they'd see these older Christians, more mature Christians, buying the meat, which was nothing. They weren't doing anything wrong, but it was hindering and causing a stumbling block to these younger Christians. And that was Paul trying to teach them, hey, quit trying to debate it. And win a debate, it's causing a brother to stumble. Don't do it. But now go to chapter number 10. And I'll try to give you these last ones pretty quick. Chapter number 10. And we go to the principle. Now we saw the principle of expediency, the principle of enslavement, and the principle of example. Now in chapter 10, verse number 23, we're going to briefly, very briefly look at the principle of edification. Look at chapter 10, verse number 23. Paul says this again. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. He didn't deal with that. All things are lawful for me, but all things, what? Edify not. See, he takes that another step. See, in other words, not being a stumbling block, and then he adds, be a lifter of the brethren. Be someone that's lifting instead of kicking them. Instead of beating them down. Again, Galatians 6. If any be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go to them in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted, and bring them back to where they're supposed to be. Amen. You restore them to make them new, like new again. Sin has made them dirty, and falling has scuffed them up spiritually. Hey, be like the Good Samaritan. Go to where they are. Bind up their wounds. Oh, this man fell among thieves, and he was going down to Egypt, a place he shouldn't have been, but that wasn't mentioned. I promise you. It's just like Brother Kirsch was telling Taylor about the guys at Levesey. And he said, you know, you don't have to go in there preaching how sorry they are. They already know that. They already know where they're at and why they're there. Just preach the gospel. Just preach the word of God. Amen. Don't go in there and convince them how rotten they are. They know they are. And to do some of us on this side of the bars to realize that as well in ourselves. Amen. Just preach to them and love them. That's not compromise. Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't sin with sinners. Amen. He was the example. And I'm not telling you to go to a bar or some place of ill repute and say, well, I'm eating with sinners. Folks, I understand about testimony. But the fact remains is they are already condemned because they've not believed on the only begotten Son of God according to the Gospel of John chapter 3. They're condemned already. Folks that are not saved are already condemned. They're living under condemnation. Just like you and I were. Then Jesus passed by and quickened us. And that state of condemnation was gone, lifted off of us. We're child of the King. We're God's people. So we have the principle of edification. Am I saying that right? Everything we do, Everything we say to someone, it shouldn't be trying to beat them down. Right. Even if you have a problem with me, it shouldn't when I'm going to tell that preacher off. Don't do that. Right. Even if I got Bible that he's wrong, man, show me. But I hope it's for the reason that you really want me to be where I ought to be. You want to lift me up to where I need to be. And it's not to expose me and embarrass me, to belittle me. If that's your agenda, is to belittle people, then you're not spiritual. Amen goes right there. So we have the principle of edification. But then we have, look at verse 31. Of chapter 10, we have the principle of exaltation. Look at verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to what? To the glory of God. Everything we do in life will either honor or dishonor the Lord. You know, you can be doing something good that brings dishonor to God. Why is that? Because your motive wasn't to glorify God in it. God knows our motive. The Lord, He knows why I do something. He knows why I say something. And so then He's going to reward me accordingly. Everything we do either honors or dishonors God. Every conversation, every habit, every relationship, every business deal, every vacation, every TV program we watch, all the music we listen to, it honors or dishonors the Lord.
Right.
One or the other. It honors or dishonors the Lord. You know, dealing with the Lord's Supper, actually it's the next chapter. Chapter 11, verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself. Verses talk about a man that not only examines himself, but a man judging himself in verse 31 of that chapter. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It's good to question yourself. It's easy to question others. You ever questioned yourself? Why am I doing that? You know, the Bible says, try the spirits. Right. You know, we quote that and we believe that. But folks, even try the spirits when you feel led to do something good for somebody. Try the spirits. Lord, am I really supposed to go do this? Why am I doing it? Is it something out of my heart of flesh that wants some type of glory? Or am I really doing it to be obedient and to be a blessing? It doesn't matter if anybody finds out about it. It doesn't matter if anybody posts anything about it. It doesn't matter. That's why I'm doing it. It doesn't matter if I'm recognized or not. See, the Corinthian people loved to be recognized for their talent. They loved to be recognized for their gifts. Paul said, you're not lacking in any gifts. Man, that church was full of gifts, full of talent, full of people that God had blessed with ability to sing, ability to speak, ability to talk, to give speeches. I mean, wisdom, great words. They were gifted with ability. And instead of doing it for the glory of God, they done it for the glory of themselves. And if you study it, most of the time, what caused the problems in that church was just that. They was in competition with their gifts. They were in competition with their gifts. I'm reminded of a story a preacher told, and I've told this before, I think. And he said he had a professional gospel singer come into his church to sing. And folks, if that professional is of like faith, we know the difference. We could have one in occasionally and not hurt us. And he did. This man's straight as an arrow. And he said, you know, his people, he'd sing a song. His people say, amen, glory, amen. Said he sang another one to get done. Amen, amen, you know. He right back and sung it, steal the blood, you know, and amen, glory, hallelujah. And he said, I looked back there and there was a mama and her two daughters come in. Said, didn't look like they could read their own name, Henderson's. He said, they walked in and he saw them and he called them up there to sing and no music. They stood in front of the communion table and ragged back, and the glory fell. the glory fell. And people were on their feet, praising the Lord. I mean, shout, God was moving. And he said that professional was... He knew what was going on. What's the difference? Well, first, the power of God. But you got to have the power of God, you got to have the right motive. It ain't about booking a date and getting an offering to those three women. Come on. Now, I got a call from a manager of a professional singer. Don't live far from here. If I told you, some of y'all might even get mad at me. I ain't got nothing against it. I think he sings great. If he popped in wanting to sing, I'd let him sing. But I'm not going to let him sing if he's going to tell me it's going to take $1,500 for him to sing. If I wouldn't have a preacher in for that, I'm not going to have a singer in for that. If a preacher told me I couldn't preach if you give me $1,500, I'd laugh him out of the building. And they called me and they said, you know, he's got some dates open. I said, okay. You know, I kind of get excited about it. And I said, well, let's work something out. I said, but now he will need at least a $1,500 offering. I said, what? I said, what? They said, yeah, that's to cover his expenses. I said, it don't cost $1,500 to drive from here to Asheville. And he's by himself. When did gas get that high? And I said, ma'am, I said, I promise you, our people give. I said, I can't guarantee, I'm not going to guarantee that, but it'll be close. No, I'm sorry, Pastor. We have to have a guarantee. I said, no, he ain't coming. I said, I'm sorry, I just can't have him. He probably got more than that. He probably got more than that. We don't understand why, you know, why is God seemingly so on people, and some, man, they got the talent, they got this, they got that, but God doesn't move. God doesn't move. The motive of it. Why are we doing it? Is it for the glory of God? Or is it for the praise of men? Or is it for the praise of men? So we have the principle of exaltation. Whether therefore you eat or drink, what shall you do to all the glory of God? And well, let me back on up here. Let me get in the right verse. 23. I'm getting to 31 in a second. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. If you're not edifying, if you're not trying to lift someone up, then we're missing it. Now, the principle of evangelism. The last one. The principle of evangelism. Look at verse 31, 32, and 33 of chapter 10. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, to all the glory of God, give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. There it is. Jew, Gentiles, the church. And Jews and Gentiles make up the church when they get saved. Yeah. Did I read that right? Yep. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may what? Be saved. Be saved. Not only edifying the brethren, but seeing people get born again. See, Paul's desire, he didn't want to turn anyone off of the gospel by his life. Paul had a great desire. You know what Paul said? He said, I assume that God cut me off that my brethren get saved. Paul's desire that I do nothing to cause someone to reject Christ. Then we see the people's determination. People are watching. They're watching. People are watching your life. They're watching my life. Lifestyle does matter. Where you go does matter. Again, this is, I'm not going to debate it. You're not going to change my mind. If you don't agree, then I'm not going to change your mind. But strong drink is raging.
Amen.
And he that deceiveth is not wise thereby, even a social one.
Amen.
If I'm somewhere and me and my wife got us a glass of wine, you come in there, what you going to think of me? Don't say, well, I wouldn't. Yeah, you would. If it's my pastor, I go, wow! I wouldn't be here Sunday.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Sugarcoating sin. You know, preachers are getting run off now for calling sin by his first name.
That's right.
And as they walk out the door, the Holy Ghost is writing Ichabod over the door. He said, I'm leaving with you. J. Harold Smith said, a lot of churches I go into and pass the Lord at the door knocking, trying to get in. Our lifestyle does matter. Our lifestyle does matter. I don't know if it was Ralph Sexton Sr. or J. Harold Smith who wrote the book on church thieves. You say, well, that's on tithing. No, it wasn't. It was on people that stole from an evangelist. Well, how do they do that? Well, I believe it's J. Harold Smith. I'm not sure. I've read the book. Said that he has been in a room getting with God in a church, and then men would be in another room discussing that the offering had been an X amount of money. But they was only going to give him this much of the offering when the pastor said the offering is going to the man of God. That's stealing. You're stealing from the man. And they gave example after example after example. They never opened their mouth about it. Never opened their mouth about it. Lifestyles matter.
Amen.
Being honest matters.
Amen.
Because, hey, there's people watching us.
Amen. Amen.
Bible says, hey, why don't you suffer yourself to be defrauded? Had a neighbor one time, before he went full-time into ministry, different denomination than us, but godly people, man. And he had an 8 or 10 bay garage. He was a master mechanic. He lived down a little part of the state until they moved up here. And we got talking. He said people would come in. I'm trying to quit, y'all. He said people would come in. Like he'd work on the car and they'd come in. And they'd say, well, this ain't right. I ain't like this. And that, you know. And he would say, all right. He said, what do you think that I should do? He said, you tell me what to do to settle this. And that's what I'm doing. He said, not as much as you think. He said, most times people, their hearts would tender. Because this man is claiming to be a Christian, and now he's saying, well, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? I understand you can't lose $1 million. I mean, I understand they got to be a medium, but the majority, he said, would say, well, okay, I'm sorry. Do what you think. He said, a few said, fix it and give me my money. He said, I did it. He said, but not as many as you think. Not as many as you think. What are you saying? I believe it was there to test him. They was tired of going in there and hearing gospel music and preaching and stuff on the radio and on whatever. He can't be this good. Lifestyle matters. I know a preacher before he started pastoring. He worked for a company and he drove a dump truck for a company. And he was only saved when he was preaching but not pastoring. But he's only saved when there. And they put him to the test one day. They put an ugly magazine under the seat of his truck. And they went back later to check, see if he'd broke that seal. And looked at it. He never looked at it. He gained respect that day. They was trying to find. Lifestyle matters.
Amen.
It matters. And why does it matter? Their souls weighed in the balance and found wanting. So Paul is trying to learn, teach these principles to the people of Corinth. The principle of evangelism. The principle of exaltation. The principle of edification. The principle of example. And the principle of expediency and enslavement. He's trying to teach them, hey, it's not about us. It's about how we honor God.
Right.
It's about how we honor the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Courtney's coming.